We're starting today on Yud Bet Amud Bet at the bottom. There was a whole discussion yesterday about the seven... Okay, first of all, before we even get to that, I wanted to point out something really interesting from yesterday's talk, since we didn't get to learn it together. If you notice, there was this ongoing theme about God creating the world, and then it kind of taking its own... leap, right? Like God created it, the yam. It kept going and going and going until God had to take his hand and squash it. And man was up to the shamayim and God had to squash him down. And I thought it was just a great imagery because it's really all about, you know, you create things and then they take on a life of their own.
Like children.
And it was this concept, right, like children or like anything, right? You build something and then, you know, other people get involved and help you take over it. And then all of a sudden it starts building a life of your own. It's very hard to build something and keep it exactly the way you want it to be. And that's what this is really all about. And that's what... You know, these sugyot, it kept repeating itself in all different contexts of man and of the yam and of the, I think the there were a bunch, and how they kind of took off and God had to come and say, wait, too much, right? Like, don't get carried away. But yet, even though God did control it somewhat, he obviously doesn't have full control, and that's really what it's all about in the world, right? It's all about that God put us here, but yet we're on our own to make our own decisions, and yet we always have to think about how to keep it within the framework of how God created it. So I thought it was a really nice image to, again, you can go in all sorts of different directions with it, but not to pass up the opportunity to talk about it. Okay, so the end of yesterday's daf was all about these seven levels of the rakia, which we actually saw in the past, if you remember. There was that case where the sun goes through the lowest rakia, and we had something about it in Tani, maybe, about going through the different levels and the rakia, and there's all this stuff about the different levels of the rakia, and here we have the names for the seven levels, and then we'll start from the bottom, two lines from the bottom. Uktiv hatam. Okay, we're gonna have three lines from the bottom. Rochev shamayim beezrecha v'choshech v'anam v'arafel mekifinoto. Okay, the God is in the shamayim, and then there's choshech, anam, and arafel around him. Right, there's darkness, cloud, and fog. Shenemar yashiv choshech sitro svivotav sukato. Okay, the choshech is around, is there, and the svivotav is the sukah, which is the anan. Cheshcha mayim abesh chakim. Okay, with full of the like the thickness of the sky. That's really the fog. So they say umi ika choshech kameshmaya. Could darkness, right? Is there darkness with God? God is light, right? Bahaktiv. There's a little. Hu gala amikata umistarata yada ma b'chashocha unahora ime shrei. Okay, he knows what's in the darkness, but his net right around him is light. So how could it be that it's darkness? Lo kashya habavate gavai habavate barai. There's the inner chambers of God, and there's no choshech. It's only light, and there's the outer chambers of God, and there could be the existence of choshech. Okay. By the way, obviously, this is I'm sure you've heard this before about darkness, whether you have to talk about darkness. Is darkness something actually, or is it the absence of light, right? And how do you relate to that? You can take this, whatever you prefer. The Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov, Od Rikia Echad Yesh Lamala Merasheh Chayot. Okay, so there were seven Rikiim, but now he says there's another one on top of the heads of the Chayot who are in the top level. Dichtiv Udmut Al Rasheh Chaya Rikia Ke'en HaKerach HaNora. Okay, it's like the frozen, scary ice. Okay, there's this Dmut on top of the chayot. It's a rakia that's like this frozen, scary ice. Ad kan yesh lecha reshut ledaber, mikam ve'elach ein lecha reshut ledaber. What does this mean? Now, what were we talking about? Mikseh Hashemayim, ma mikseh Hashemayim, right? And you can't ask ma lefani, ma lachor. So this is what you can ask until here, until that rakia. But from there on, you can't ask anymore. Shaken katu b'sefer ben sira, b'mufla mimcha al tidrosh, u'b'mechuse mimcha al tachkur. B'mesh u'resheta hitbonen, ein lecha esek b'nistarot. Okay, first of all, what's sefer ben sira? It was one of the apocrypha literature, right? What didn't make it into the Tanakh. Okay, and what does it say in that book? But you see here the Gemara quotes it. The things that are mufla mimcha, things that are too wondrous that you can't understand, don't start asking about. It's all the same thing, right? Things that are covered from you, don't start looking into. What you were allowed to, you can ask about. You can't start dealing with the secret hidden things. So they say that's what we're talking about, above where the chayot are. Tanya, Amar Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ma tshuva ha-heshivato bat kol la'ota rasha, b'sha'a sh'amar e'ele abamate av adamele elyon. Okay, what are we talking about here? Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai says, what was the answer that the bat kol gave la'ota rasha? What's ota rasha? In those days, right, it wasn't, nowadays it would be Hitler, right? In those days it was Nebuchadnezzar. He was the guy. And what did he say? He said, e'ele abamate av adamele elyon. I'm going to go up to the Shamayim, I'm going to be like God. Okay, what does it sound like, by the way? Migdal Bavel. Okay, which is interesting because in a minute they're going to call him Ben Nimrod. Okay, Ben Benoshel Nimrod. And Nimrod, it doesn't say so in the Pshat, but the because of his name, the rabbis darshened his name, it sounds like Mered. And they gave him a very bad rap in the Midrashim, and they claim that he's responsible for Migdal Bavel. So that's why they connect it. They talk about, you know, one's from Shem and one's from Cham, so it can't possibly be that they're descendants of each other. Okay, but that Nebuchadnezzar is a descendant of Nimrod, but often it calls him Ben Benot because it means he was like him, he acted like him. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, what did the Baal Kol tell the Otar Rasha? The Baal Kol, by the way, is a way of talking about some sort of Nevuah after the time of Nevuah ended. Right? Nevuah ended Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi at the very right after the Churban, and then from then on, there's really no Nevuah, but we do see bat calls, and they're discussed in all sorts of places in the Gemara. Here's one of them. So what did the bat call answer Nebuchadnezzar when he said, I want to be like God? Yatzta bat kol v'amralo, rasha ben rasha, ben beno shel nimrod rasha, shehimrid kol ha'olam kulo alav b'malchuto. Okay, so he says, you're the son, right, the son of the Nimrod, who basically caused all the world to go against God. This is what I have to say to you. How long does man live? What's the lifespan of a man? 70 shana. How do we know it's 70 shana? We've seen this before also. Shenemar, yemesh notenu bahem 70 shana, ve'im bigvurot 80 shana. In other words, if you're really, really strong, then you'll live 80 years. Okay, but generally it's 70 years. V'halo min ha'aretz ad l'rakia, mahalach 500 shana. And the time it takes to get from the aretz to the rakia would take you 500 years. And the thickness of each of these seven layers of the rakia is also, it would take you 500 years to cross them. Okay, and then between each level, okay, so you're talking from the earth to the first rakia, from the rakia to the end of that rakia, from that rakia to the next rakia, from that rakia through that rakia, right? In other words, each rakia plus another level of emptiness in between the rakim. Each one is malach 500 shana. Okay, the Shatan Sina has a whole calculation about how much this actually is and how many, like 1,865 parsa'ot, they say, and each parsa is 3.65, I think, kilometers.
328,500,000.
Okay, so 328,500,000 parsa'ot. Okay, but they said it was, that's interesting, I thought that the note I had a different number.
90,000 years.
Anyway, okay, 90,000 years they get to.
Really
okay,
far.
Without getting into all the calculations, the point is you'll never get there, Nebuchadnezzar, okay? So now, but it's more because it's not just each of those levels, but now they say, Lemala mehen chayot ha-kodesh. Okay, so above the top rakia sits these chayot ha-kodesh. Raglei ha-chayot keneged kulan. The legs of these chayot is also keneged, it's not only 500 years, it's keneged all 15 layers. I think there's 15 layers underneath, but if you count all the spaces and the earth, it's keneged kulan. Karsulei ha-chayot keneged kulan. Shokei ha-chayot keneged kulan. Right, their ankles is keneged kulan. Their shok, their the bottom part of your legs, is keneged kulan. Rikuvei ha-chayot keneged kulan. Their knees. Yarchei ha-chayot, their thighs, keneged kulan. Gufei ha-chayot keneged kulan. Okay, their body's a little out of proportion, you can see. Tzavarei ha-chayot keneged kulan. Their necks, then. Rashei ha-chayot keneged kulan. What did you say?
They look really weird.
Yes, they must look very odd. Karnei ha-chayot keneged kulan. And lamala mehen kisei ha-kavod. Okay, yeah, we're still not there yet. Raglei kisei ha-kavod keneged kulan. Kisei ha-kavod keneged kulan. Melech ha-chay v'kayam ram v'nisa shochen alehem. Ba'ata amarta ala b'matei av adamel elyon. Okay, here's the great retort of the pasuk, right, which comes up there in Yeshayahu, one second. here, right? In Yeshayahu, it's Perik Yudalit, Pesukim Yudalit Tetevav. So Yudalit is El Al B'matei Avadam El Elyon. The next pasuk says, Ach El Sheol Tuhad El Yarkete Bor. You want to go up, and you're going down. You're not going anywhere. You're going to be destroyed entirely. Okay. So again, you have this concept of, right, this is obviously exaggeration, but they're trying to use this to show how far away God is from our grasp. Right, that God is not anywhere near our grasp, but even if you try to think about getting there, there's no chance you could ever get there. Which goes along with what we're talking about, this Merkava, you're not going to understand, you can't see, you can't this. We're going to see more of this soon. Okay? V'lo b'merkava b'yachid. Now remember, this is how it all started. You can't learn ma'aseh merkava b'yachid. So now we have a braita on this that kind of limits it. Rabbi Chia, Atani Rabbi Chia, Avam Mosrim lo Rashei Prakim. You can't get into the details of the Ma'aseh Merkavah, but you can give general outlines of these psukim. Amar Rabbi Zera, Ein Mosrim Rashei Prakim Ela La'av Beitin Ulechol Mi Shelibo Do'eg Bekirbo. Okay, so now Rabbi Chia said you could do Rashei Prakim, but now Rabbi Zera says, but only if you're an Av Beitin or if Libo Do'eg Bekirbo, which unclear exactly what that means. There's different interpretations of it. Rashi says, Eino mekelet rosho. Okay, it's not the greatest interpretation. It doesn't exactly, right? He takes things seriously. Okay, maybe that's what libojo eg bekirbo. There's another interpretation that eludes me right now. But there's different interpretations. I'm sure how you can understand this. Ika de'amre v'hu shelibojo eg bekirbo. Some people say it doesn't mean in Av Beit Din or someone who's libojo eg bekirbo, but it could mean according to the Iga D'Amre, only if the Av Beit Din is libojo eg bekirbo. Okay, again, there's this different perspective on can you reveal things to people, can you not reveal? This is only the Rashei Prakim. So according to this, the Rashei Prakim can only be revealed to the Av Beit Din, who also has the right personality for it, right? The right understanding for it. Or it could be both categories. Amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Mosrim Sitre Torah Ela Lemi Sheyesh Bo Chamisha Dvarim. Okay, if you want to give away the secrets of the Torah, you want to pass them on. By the way, this very much is reminiscent of these secret societies that existed in Christianity, where all these, the Templars, and if you read any of those books also, you know about these secret societies. The Jews also had these secret societies. And they were worried that people were going to misinterpret, and they kept these secret societies, and this is really what's going on about it. It's who's in, who's out. What criteria you need to get into the club. And if you don't have them, it's very odd to think about that we actually had these things going on, but we clearly had these things going on, and this sugya is really a reference to it. This whole who can, who can't, who's capable of grasping, who's not. And here what you're going to see is that there's all different... It wasn't clear what things yes, what things no. What, right? Which parts can you give Rashi Prakim to everyone? Can you give them just to the Av Beit Din? Can you give them maybe Av Beit Din and someone who has some other right characteristics? It was tricky where exactly you draw the line. Just like everything, there's all different opinions about it. So this too. So now he says that you need five criteria. Sar Hamishim Unisupanim. Okay, we're going to leave these two aside because in Daf Yudala we're going to get into what these things are. So we'll get to it tomorrow. Yo'etz v'chacham chershim u'nevon lachash. Okay, so the yo'etz seems to be someone who has common sense. Okay? He knows how to get things done politically. He's a savvy kind of guy like that. Nevon lachash, I'm skipping the middle one for a minute. Nevon lachash is someone who understands things well, like Bina, right? He can, maybe in Devar we talked about, he can understand more conceptual things. One is more the abstract thinking, that's Nevon lachash. And the other is the more concrete kind of guy, the yo'etz, and the chacham chershim, someone who also knows how to, he's learned for a long time. And it's not enough just to have the capability, the intellectual capability, but it's important also to have sit and learned and have knowledge. So if you have all three of these things, both you have street smarts and you have you can understand abstract ideas and you've sat and learned, those are three of the things, and the Sar Chamishim Nisupanim we'll get to after. But those are the things that really deal with the intellect. Va'amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Mosrim Divrei Torah La'Oved Kochavim. This is a very famous line. Okay, are you allowed? There's a whole question. Are you allowed to teach Torah to non-Jews? So according to this, again, it's this fear of what will happen if you pass on this information. So you can't give it to Obey Kochavim, Shenemar. Okay, lo asachen lechol goy, mishpatim bal yida'u. Right? It's alluding me with a pasuk before is Magid Rav Yaakov, Chukav u'mishpatav liYisrael, right? But lo asachen lechol goy, right? But he didn't do this to every nation, because the other nations aren't capable of understanding Torah properly. It's interesting, this isn't really quoted halacha lamaaseh, and they discuss why is it not quoted halacha lamaaseh. So there's different interpretations given. The Koran brings three answers, which is one being, let's see if I remember them all, one being that once the Torah was translated into Greek, there was no preventing the Torah from getting to their hands. I don't know, Rachel, help me out, remind me what the other two are.
Yeah.
I just forgot.
And the other statement in regards to transmitting the words of Torah to a Gentile does not refer to the words of Torah themselves, but only to the secrets of the Torah.
Ah, right. This might be just the secrets, like the whole sugya is talking about, which makes sense. That just the secrets, because Em Mosrim, right? This whole thing, they keep talking about Em Mosrim, Aval Mosrim, you can give him Roshei Prakim. This idea of Mosrim seems to be in the context of hidden. So one opinion says it's that, and what was the third?
Me'iri follows his.
Ah, right. Okay, the Me'iri. The Me'iri, in general, says that whenever we talk about Akum in the Gemara, it's really only pagan.
Right.
And it's not Christians or anybody else. So therefore, he says it only refers to pagan, in which case, certainly in his day, everyone living around him was Christian. It basically became irrelevant. Okay, he has a very famous Heter where he talks, it comes up in Bishulei Akum and all sorts of things, where he basically narrows the whole scope of all those halachot that only applies to an Akum. Okay. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan le Rabbi Elazar. And now we're going to see some cases where people didn't want to learn the Maaseh Merkava. Ta egmarcha b'maaseh merkava. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Elazar, I want to teach you the Maaseh Merkava. Okay, it's interesting, right? Usually we can't teach. He saw Rabbi Elazar was capable. He said, I want to teach you. Amar le lo kashai, I'm not old enough, he said. Kikash, when he was old enough, Nachna shaved Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was already dead. Amarle Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Asi says to him, Tava egmarcha b'maaseh merkava, I'll teach you. Amarle, I zakai gimirtam Rabbi Yochanan rabcha. If I was zakai, I would have learned from Rabbi Yochanan. He took it as a sign that I shouldn't learn. Okay, here you see all the superstitious, right? The fact that he's dead now, I finally got to the right age, it must have been a sign I shouldn't learn it. Rav Yosef, now we're going to see something a little bit different. Rav Yosef Havagamer Maaseh Merkava. He knew the Maaseh Merkava. Sabed Pupadita, this Kenim of Pupadita, who clearly had the right age, right? They were his Kenim. Habutane b'Maaseh Bereshit. They knew Maaseh Bereshit. Amrule, they said to him, Ligmor Lamar Maaseh Merkava. Amar Lehu, Igmor Ali Maaseh Bereshit. Okay? They said to him, teach me Maaseh Merkava. And he said to them, teach me Maaseh Bereshit. Batar de Agmarun, so they taught him, right? What does it sound like he's saying? You teach me Maaseh Bereshit, I'll teach you Maaseh Merkava, right? But what happens? After they taught him, Amrule, they said to him, Ligmarum Marba Maaseh Merkava. Amar Lehu, he says to them, Tanina Behu, it says about them, Dvash Bechalav Tachat Leshonech. Tvarim HaMetukim Midvash Bechalav Yehu Tachat Leshonech. Should be under your tongue, meaning I shouldn't reveal them, okay? So he a little bit tricked them to teach him Maaseh Bereshit. Okay, it's interesting. Yep, right. The Mefreshim asked why, if he knew Maaseh Merkava, he didn't know Maaseh Bereshit, right? You would think that that's like an easier thing to grasp. Okay, not everybody knows everything. It could have been a test, possibly. Yeah, it's possible.
That
if you don't know that, right? But it does tell us in the beginning of the story that he knew that and they knew that, which makes it sound like he didn't know that, right? So anyway, he says, this day is Tachat Lashonech, and Rabbi Yavahu Amar Mehacha, he brings a different pasuk, Kvasim Lelivushech, Dvarim Shehem Kiv Shono Shalom, they take Kvasim and they say, it means Kivshan, okay, things that are like, Kivshano Shalom, okay, that are like in the furnace of the world, okay, that are dangerous, Yiyu Tachat Lelivushech, should be under your clothes, you should hide them under your clothes. I thought of, there's a clear distinction between what you keep under your tongue and what you keep under your clothes, right? Because your tongue is part of your body and your clothes are external. I didn't know what to make of it, but you could take that concept somewhere. Anyway, two different things about where you should hide them, and you shouldn't let them out. Amrule, they said to him, Taninam Behu, Ad Vayomer Elai Ben Adam. Okay, now, what does this mean? Yechezkel has Perek Aleph and Perek Bet. Perek Aleph is the beginning of Maaseh Merkava. Perek Bet continues the Maaseh Merkava. Okay, like Baruch Kvod Hashem Mekomo comes up in Perek Bet, comes from our Kedusha comes from. So they said, we already learned all of Perek Aleph. Okay? So Amar Lehu, Hein Hei Masem Merkava. Unclear exactly what's going on here, okay? But it sounds like you already learned the problematic part. In other words, you already know it, probably is what he's saying. You don't need me to teach it to you. Like, that is Masem Merkava. If you've already learned that, then you basically already learned it. What are you bothering me about? Okay, now whether he was just trying to push them off or not, it's unclear really. Okay, it could be he was just trying to push them off and say, hey, you already know it, so leave me alone. The really problematic psukim that they talk about, or at least some of them, are these last two psukim in Perek Aleph. Okay? Okay, the last two psukim of Yechezkel read like this. Okay, you probably have it on your page if you have the Torah or... Va'ere ke'en chashmal. Okay, this is where the word chashmal comes from, by the way. One of the sources of it. Obviously, it didn't mean electricity then. Kimar'e esh. Okay, that's what you see. It looked like some sort of sparking thing. It looked like fire. Beit la saviv mimar'e motnavu lamala. Here it's really describing what God looked like, right? And then, okay, the psukim go on a little bit, and it says, kimar'e ha-keshet, okay? It's basically what we call ha'anasha, personification. And the rabbis were concerned that if we had a view of God, of what he looked like, it would diminish the importance of God. And we're not supposed to think God looks like anything in particular, so they didn't want us to learn those psukim. So basically, he said, you already learned this. So now we're going to have a problem with this. Meitiv. I'm going to bring a brayta that goes against what Rav Yosef said. Ad hecha ma'asem rakava, until where is the ma'asem rakava? Now, there's a lot of confusing interpretations of this. Does this mean ad hecha ma'asem rakava that you're allowed to study and after that you're not allowed to? Or it's very unclear what this thing is actually talking about. Ad hecha ma'asem rakava, there's a machloket. Rebbe Omer ad va'era, until the pasuk that I just read you. Okay? This is why the rabbis think that it's okay, that... What's the ma'asem rakava that you're allowed to deal with? Because after that, you're already not allowed to, because it talks about this va'era ke'en chashma. Va'era batra, the second time it appears, because it appears earlier in the parak. Rabbi Yitzchak omer ad ha'chashmal, until the word, those first three words, that's what their machloket is about. Is it before that pasuk, or does it include va'era ke'en chashmal? Okay? Ad va'era magmarina, mikam va'elach, masrinan rashe prakim. Okay, so now here's the answer. So the question is really... He said, if you take this on the basic symbol, forgetting about getting into different interpretations of this, but to make it very simple, they said, to where is the Merkava? Either it's to Perak Aleph, Pasuk Kav Zayin, not including Kav Zayin, or it's Perak Aleph, Pasuk Kav Zayin, including the first three words. Now, what did Rav Yosef say? They said, we finished to the end of Perak Aleph. And he said, oh, that's the Masem Merkava. And this seems to imply the Masem Merkava ends a little bit before that. That's what it seems the basic contradiction is, without getting too complicated. So what do they answer? Ad va'era magmarina. That's the part that you're allowed to learn. Mikam va'elach masrina rashe prakim. But from Kav Zayin, either after the first three words or from the beginning, that's when you're only allowed to be masrina rashe prakim. And that's the distinction between Rav Yosef and what the Braita says. There's no real contradiction here. Ika de amre, some people say it's no. It works like this. Ad va'era masrina rashe prakim. From Perak Aleph until that area, you can only give the outlines. Mikam ba'elach imayachacham yibim midato in ilo lo. But from that point, you can't even do it at all. Okay, so there was, again, distinctions about the parts that you can, the parts that you can't. What can you do? Can you teach it bichla? Can you only teach the Rashi Prakim? All different interpretations of it. Okay. Umi darshinam b'chashmal, but what do you mean? How could you learn b'chashmal at all? V'ahu yenuga d'darsh b'chashmal v'naf panura v'achalte. There was a child who started darshining this chashmal and he understood it, and a fire came out and ate him up. Shani yenuga d'lav mate zimne. Okay, he might have been very smart, but he wasn't old enough to understand, to grasp it, and that's why it happened. Amar Rav Yehuda biram zechor oto ish l'tov. But we have to remember this man l'tov. Who is this? Hanani ben Chizkiah shmo. There's a bunch of cases in Yechezkel where there's a contradiction. For example, they talk about you can't eat nevela, and it's only an issue for the Kohanim and not for the people. It talks about the Korban Pesach, they brought it on Zion of Nisan. There's a bunch of contradictions within Sefer Yechezkel, and they say if it weren't for Hanani ben Chizkiah, we would have been Gonei Sefer Yechezkel. Where did we see this before? In Kohelet. They said Kohelet has all these inner contradictions and they wanted to put in the Gniza. All these books that are hard to understand, they're philosophical. People, you know, were taking them to mean the wrong things, and therefore they wanted to say this shouldn't be here because it's going to cause people to go off the derech, which we're going to see soon about people who go off the derech. We're going to get, like I said in the beginning, we're going to get to Arba'a Shenichnasu Lepardes soon. Not today, but soon. So Ma'asu, He'elulo Gimel Me'ot Garbe Shemen. They brought him 300 Kadim of Shemen, okay? Why? Because he was going to sit there for a long time, so he was going to need a lot of light, okay? Maybe for eating also, but you don't really eat Shemen. V'yashav ba'aliyah v'darsho, okay? And he basically sat there up in his aliyah, and he was darshan. Until he figured out how to resolve all these inner contradictions. Tana Rabbanan, ma'aseh b'tinok echad, again we're going to talk about this tinok, shaya kore b'beit rabo b'sefer Yechezkel, v'haya mevim b'chashmal, again, right? This child was understanding this issue of the chashmal, v'yatza esh mi'chashmal u'sarafto. U'bikshu l'gno sefer Yechezkel, so they said, we really got to put this book away, look what it's causing. Amar lahem chanani ben chizkia, im zeh chacham, hakol chachamim? What, just because you have this one chacham kid who can figure this out, you're going to be gonez the sefer for everybody to read? Nobody's going to, very few people are going to get to the madrega of this katan. So the fact that this happened to him shouldn't be, it's actually interesting, it's an interesting perspective, right? You shouldn't prevent people from learning something just because of one unique individual that will come up who knows how often that might die from it. Right? That still you should allow people to have knowledge. It's all about, right? Again, this contradiction, these secret societies. Should we let people have knowledge? Shouldn't we? You see, the Chanani ben Chizkia was very much a proponent of let people read the books. Okay? My chashmal. So now, what is chashmal? Amar Rav Yehuda, chayot esh mimal melot. Okay, you get the word chashmal. Chayot esh that are mimal melot. They're speaking. B'manita Tana, Braita says like this. Not that they were always speaking. Okay? Itim chashot, itim mimal melot. What does that mean? Sometimes they're silent, sometimes they're speaking. B'sha'ah she'adibur yotzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chashot. U'b'sha'ah she'ein ha'dibur yotzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mimal melot. This is, I think, a good lesson for life. When God's speaking, they're quiet. When God's not speaking, they're talking. It's almost like there's a time to talk and there's a time not. When someone's speaking, you're supposed to be listening. You're not supposed to be talking. So that's right. So when God would speak, they would be quiet. And as soon as God would stop speaking, then they would speak. V'chayot ratzo v'shov kimar'eh ha'bazak. Okay, what's fascinating about the sugya, I think, is that until now we basically said you can't learn this. And what does the Gemara proceed to do? Teach the psukim that are dafka problematic. Okay? Go figure. They're running in and out like the vision of the bazak. My ratzovashov, Amar of Yehuda, ki or hayotze mipi akivshan. Okay, it's like the light that comes out of the furnace. Now, what does a light come out of the furnace? The fire's in the furnace and it stays based there, but the light comes out. That's like the chayot. They were up in Shamayim and they were based there, but their light was coming through. My kimar'eh bazak, another interpretation. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, not another interpretation, I think this is really another interpretation. One says it's like Or Yotzei Mipi Kevshan, and he says, Ki Or Yotzei Miben Acharasim. If you're firing up a cheres, there's holes in it, and the light peeks through the holes, and that's what it was like. Kemar Abazak, it was like peeking through these holes, and the light came through the holes. It sounds a little bit like in the Kabbalah when they talk about the Shpirata, what's it called? That there was this nitzot in the Shvirat HaKelim, and then the sparks of light came out through there. So that's what it sounds like here, this concept of a kli, you know, having holes and the light coming through, and that's what God is in the world. That's this concept of Shvirat HaKelim, that it's God, you know, this kli broke and some of the light is coming through. Ve'erev hinei ruach sa'ara ba'a min ha'tzafon. Okay, tzafon, mitzafon ti patach ha'ra'ah, that's the famous from Yirmiyahu. Tzafon is from Bavel, right? The Bavel was in the tzafon, and that's where the bad was coming from in those days, right? In the time of the Nevi'im there. So here he says, Va'erev hinei ruach sa'ara ba'a min ha'tzafon, anan gadol ve'esh mitlakachat, v'noga lo saviv, u'mitocha ke'en ha'chashma mitocha esh. So what do they see? A ruach sara, like a storm that comes from the north, in anan gadol, okay, a big cloud, and fire going, and it has this light around it, and from inside ke'en chashmal mitoch ha'esh. So lehecha nazal, amar Rav Yehuda, amar Rav, shalach lichbosh et kol ha'olam kulo tachat Nebuchadnezzar. Where was it going? that was coming from the Tzafon. It was going to conquer, to make Nebuchadnezzar into a world leader, basically. He was going to conquer the world. What was the importance of his from conquering the world? B'kol kach lama, shelo yomru umot ha'olam b'yad umash falam, asar kadosh baruch hu epanav. God wanted to make Nebuchadnezzar into this great, powerful king so that when the Jewish people would get conquered by him, they wouldn't say, oh, look, these people, Nebuchadnezzar, they were, right? It's like a sports game. You know, you get beaten by the worst team, that's embarrassing. So they wanted them to be the best team so that they would get beaten by somebody great. And then, obviously, the question, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, mi garam li sheyesh shamash lovdei psilim, sheyesh shamash lovdei psilim, who caused me to be this, that I'm serving the Ovdei Psilim, that I'm helping Nebuchadnezzar conquer all these other people? Avonoteim shel Yisrael heim garmuli. Okay, it's not my fault. It's our avonot that caused God to do it. Va'era hachayot v'hine ofan acha ba'aretz etzal hachayot. Okay, there's this ofan in the aretz near the chayot. Amar Rabbi Elazar, malach achad shuomei ba'aretz v'roshom magia etzal hachayot. How could he have an ofan in the aretz? Isn't he up in the shamayim? Right? So now think about all our calculations earlier, how far it was from where he was until the Aretz, right? So he had this Ofan that basically went all the way down to the land, that where he was standing, and his Rosh Hashanah Etzel HaChayot. B'manita Tana Sandalfon Shemo. His name was Sandalfon. Okay, Fon is often the end of the name of Malachim. You find Fon. And Sandal comes from Sandal. Why his name was Sandalfon, I don't know. Hagavoa mechaverav mahalach hamesh meot shana. Okay, he was 500 years distance, greater than all his other friends. That might be explain why he was in the Aretz, because everybody else was in the Shemayim, and he was in the Aretz already, so he was the 500-year distance that we had to get from the Aretz to the Shemayim. V'omed achorei ha-merkava v'kosher k'tarim l'kono. Okay, he's standing behind the Merkava, and he's tying, he's making crowns for God. Ini, could he really be? V'hakti baruch kivod Hashem mimkomo. Michlal de mikomo leka diyadela. How could he be making crowns for God? It's implied from baruch kivod Hashem mimkomo that God is in his place and nobody knows where his place is. So how could he make crowns for God and give them to God? So here, obviously, some miraculous way they got to God. Da'amar shem ataga. He would say a name on the crown. He would say, okay, this is for God, and it would find its way to God on its own. Okay, obviously, he never saw God. Okay, this is, again, trying to protect the image of God that nobody was able to see God. Amar Rava, kol shera'a Yechezkel ra'a Yeshayahu. Okay, now we're going to, this is also a very famous line that you might have heard, or you might not have. Whatever Yechezkel saw, Yeshayahu saw. Okay, now why are they comparing Yechezkel and Yeshayahu? Because both of them had these nivuot of angels. Lama Yechezkel dome leben kfar sharat hamelech. Now the description in Yechezkel is much more elaborate. That's why in Yechezkel it's called the Maaseh Merkava. We're not allowed to learn it. In Yeshayahu, we all learn. So what do we say? Yechezkel was like a ben kfar sharat hamelech. But lama Yeshayahu dome leben krach sharat hamelech. Yeshayahu was a city boy. He hung out in the king's palace. So when he saw the grand palace of God, it impressed him, but not as much as a village boy. A village boy who never saw the king, when he saw God up there, whoa, that was something to see. And he really described it all and, you know, went into all the details. But the Ben Krach, he sees the king all the time, so he describes it, but not in such elaborate description. That's at least the basic interpretation. I'm sure there's other ones. Amar Ish Lakish, Mai Dechtiv Ashira LaHashem Ki Ga'oga'a. Shira, the Shira is for Lemi. Why do they say Ga'oga'a? What's the double Lashon? Shira Lemi Shemitga'e Al Hage'im. It's someone who's proud, who's like on top of, he's greater than all the ones who are great. Da'amar Mar, so what are these Ga'oga'a? Melech Shebachayot Ari. Melech Shebehemot Shor. Melech Shebeofot Nesher. Va'adam Mitga'e Lehem. Okay, there's four kings in the world. Okay, there's the Melech of the Chayot, the Aryeh. Melech of the Behemot is the Shor. The Melech of the Ofot is the Nesher. And the Adam is on top of all of them. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is on top of them and on top of the entire world, basically. So that's what it means, Ga'oga'a. I'm going to sing to the person who is above the great people. Why is this relevant here? Because we're going to see in a minute, these four demuyot are the demuyot that we see in Yechezkel in the Maaseh Merkava. I see someone here has learned the Maaseh Merkava. Now we're going to see a contradiction between the psukim. Why are we here now? We just compared Yeshayahu and Yechezkel, and we're going to now compare their psukim and see that there's contradictory accounts between the account of Yechezkel and the account of Yeshayahu. Now Yechezkel was a Navi at the end of the Chorban and after the Chorban. So we're going to connect some of these differences to post-Chorban to before the Chorban. Echad omer udbut pnehem pnei Adam upnei Aryeh ala yamin la'arbaatam upnei shor me'asmol la'arbaatam, and it doesn't say the rest of the pasuk, but the pnei Nesher. Okay? So he says there's four faces, and one is Adam, one is the lion, one is the shor, the ox, and one is the Nesher, the griffin vulture is a translation of Nesher. I always remember that. My high school teacher always made us, he used to like ram it into our heads. Nesher is not an eagle, it's a griffin vulture. He even used to bring us pictures of it. Sorry, I don't have. Okay. See, some things the teachers pound into your heads, eventually you still remember them. V'ilu shor lo kachashiv. Uktiv, I skipped. So that has the four penim we just talked about. Okay? That's the pasuk. What? That's the pasuk in Yechezkel. Okay? But in Yeshayahu it says, uktiv, v'arba'a panim le'echad. Pnei ha'echad, pnei ha'kruv. You didn't have the kruv before, right? Now we'll see who it's in place of. U'pnei ha'shini pnei adam, v'ashlishi pnei aryeh, v'arivi'i pnei nesher. V'ilu shor lo kachashiv. The shor isn't mentioned. Amar Rish Lakish, Yechezkel bikesh alav rachamim v'hapacho lekruv. Why? Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam, kategor yaseh sanegor, right? The shor is the ox, which the egel hazahav was made, right, from the same family. So what do they say? We don't want that to be in the image, right? We don't want to describe that as the image. We don't want that to be the image of God. It's going to basically be in our face that we worship the egel hazahav. So God had rachamim and turned it into a kruv. So now they say, my kruv, Amar Rabbi Abao, kiravya. Shekein b'bavel koreim liyanuka ravya. Ravya is like a baby. It was a baby face. That's what we know. The pnei akruvim always look like a baby face. So Amar le'Rav Papa Lavaya, elamayata dixi pnei acha pnei akruv, upnei ashini pnei adam. Vashlishi pnei aryeh, v'arivi'i pnei nesher. Hainu pnei akruv, hainu pnei adam. What do you mean? It's a baby is the same as a person. Now you're having two categories that are basically the same. So what do they answer? Ape ravrve, ape zutre. In other words, there's the young face and the old face. They're two different things. They look very different, and they're two different images. Right here, you could get into a whole concept about what's the difference, right? Is there an inherent difference between a child and a man, right? A grown person. And here, right, there's, because they're not just saying they look different, but they're saying it was a whole different image. So you can go there. I don't know where you want to take it. Ketuv echad, another contradiction, omer. Shesh knafayim le'echad. Ketuv echad omer, v'arba'a panim le'echad, v'arba'a knafayim le'echad lehem. Okay, so again, four or six. Okay? Lo kashya, kam bizman she'beit ha'mikdash kayam, kam bizman she'en beit ha'mikdash kayam. Kivyachol nitma'atu kamfei ha'chayot. Okay, so what do they say? After the Chorban, two of the knafayim were gone. Okay, again, this concept of after the Chorban, things, right, are going down. Hey minayu imut. Okay, which, so now, okay, if there were six wings, so which ones were gone? Which are the four that are left? Amrav Hanan al Amarav. Otan sha'amrot shira. Okay, there's this concept, by the way, okay, I didn't say it explicitly, but there were two, if I remember correctly, two covered their face, two covered their legs, and two covered, two, what was it? It says it in the note there. See it? Somebody see their note? Does it say it there? I forget. Two covered their... I forget.
Face, legs, and here. Two would fly.
Ah, okay. Two were for flying purposes. Okay, so two would cover their face, two their legs, and two would fly. So now they say, "Ktiv hacha ubishtayim ye'ofef v'karal zeh el zeh v'yamar." That's in right. That's the pasuk from Yeshayahu. Okay, v'amar v'karal zeh el zeh v'yamar. Uktiv hataif einecha bo ve'einenu. If you would, right? If you would. Shoot a look at them, they weren't there anymore. So that means it was the ones, right, these were the ones, Otan Shamrot, sorry, I think I skipped where he said, Amar Chanan Amarav, Otan Shamrot Shira. Okay, the ones that sing. Those are the ones that are gone. Okay, what are the ones that sing? Those are the ones that, I think the fly, because it says, right, Ubishtayim Yofei, Pekarl Zel Zevi Amar. Those are the ones that called out, Pekarl Zel Zevi Amar. So they say those are the ones that basically weren't there anymore.
The Rabbanan.
What?
Which ones?
The ones that you see flying in Yeshayahu that sing b'karal zel zevi amar. Exactly. Those are the ones that weren't there anymore. Because it says, Hata'if einecha bo ve'einenu. In other words, if you give, the word af comes in there, and af means to fly. So if you looked, if you Hata'if einecha bo, they're using that word in double lashon, right? If you took a glance at them, but really means the ones that were af, then they weren't there anymore. Rabbanan amre otan shemechasot behem raglehem, the ones that covered their legs. Shne'emar v'raglehem regel yeshara. How would he know their legs were yishara? If their knafayim always covered their legs, it must be those disappeared. So what do they say? No, dilmadi galav achaz yale. Maybe they flapped up for a second and he was able to see them. Because if you don't say that, udmut panem panay adam. Hachinami di imaud. In other words, it says the same logic would apply to the face. You know, he saw the demut of their panim. How did he see the demut of their panim if their wings were covering them? So it must be that the wings moved and they could see, he could catch a glance. Also here, ela di galav chazile, hachanami di galav chazile. It must be they moved and then he could see them. So that can't explain it was the legs. But then they say no, hachi hashta with the face. Yes, it could move. Bishlama ape or chara legiluia kamerabe. As people generally reveal their face to the person they're talking to. And here it's to God. Kare lav orich ara ligiluya kame rabbe. But your legs, it's not appropriate, it's not sanua basically, to reveal your legs before God. So therefore, those wings must have stayed attached to their bodies. The ones by their faces must have opened up. So therefore, where does that take us to? He could see their faces even with the wings on, but their legs he could only see if their wings were gone. So it must be that those wings were gone. Now, if they needed it for tznu purposes, why were the wings gone? You know, why those wings get lost? That's a separate question. Katuv echad omer, elef alafin yishamshune, v'rabu rivervan kadamoh yikumu. Okay, it says how, here it gives a number to how many people, thousands of thousands were, right, a thousand of thousands were serving God, and the Rivava v'Rivava were before him. Katuv echad omer, hayesh mispar l'gdudav. What do you mean? Is there a number to the gdudim that work for God, right? The angels in the Shemayim? Meaning, there ain't Sophie. There's tons of them. You can't count them. So how could it in one place count them? In another place, not count them. Lo kashya. Okay? There's a difference between... Now here, the Pesukim, by the way, aren't from Yeshayahu and Yechezkel anymore. One was from Daniel and one was from Iov. Okay? The Pesuk where it says how many they were was from Daniel, and the Pesuk from Iov was Amis Par. So Daniel was living in the after the Churban. He was in Babel. So that's why they had numbers at that point. They were numbered. For the Beit HaMikdash, they weren't. Kibyachol shenitma'ata pamalya shamala. Tanya, right, where the people hung out upstairs, right, there were much fewer. Now we're going to hear different interpretations. Tanya, Rebbe Omer Mishum Abi Yossi Ben Dosai, Elef Alafim Mishum Shua Mispar, Gedud Echad Ugd, sorry, Elef Alafim Mishum Shune Mispar, right, they are counted, Gedud Echad, that's Mispar Gedud Echad. The numbers that we're hearing is one Gedud. Okay, what's a Gedud, right, like a unit. Okay, like an army unit. Ulegdudav emis par, but there's no counting how many gdudim he has. That's the difference. One counts how many in a gdud. So we know how many in a gdud, but we have no idea how many gdudim there are. For Rabbi Yirmi Abba Abamar, elef alafim shamshune lenahar dinor. Shneemar, here's the pasuk. Okay, here's the whole pasuk. Now, we didn't get the whole pasuk before. Nahar dinor nigad v'nafak min kadomahai. We're going to get into this more tomorrow. This nahar dinor was going through. It goes in and out of the, from before God. Elef alafim shamshune v'rabu v'ravavan kadamoi kumun. Okay, now where did they come out of? Mehecha nafik mizeatan shachayot. Okay, so now what are they saying? Basically, this Nahar Dinur, all these angels came out of the Nahar Dinur, and those are the ones we could count. It wasn't talking about the angels, Bichal. It was just talking about these angels that came from Nahar Dinur. So now they want to know, well, where did they come from, and where were they going? Okay, and we'll start a drop, but then we're going to continue tomorrow. They came from the sweat of the Chayot, and Lehechan Shafich, where were they going? Amar Rosutra Bartuvi Amar Rav, Al Rashay Rishayim B'Gehenom. They went on to the heads of the Rishayim in Genom, Shneamar, Hine Sara Kashem, Chama Yatza, Vesara Metcholel, Arosh Rishayim Yachul. Okay, the Sara came out and the Chama came out, right? You think of a Nahar, right? It came out like a stream coming out with full force, okay? And all these angels came to go to the Rosh HaRishayim, okay? Now, we're going to get into tomorrow. I'm going to stop here. Where they were going, what they were doing. We're going to bring another pasuk which talks about a Nahar Yutzaki Sodom. We're going to say this Nahar is the Nahar Dinur. And that's where they were going. They were going to wipe out all these generations that should have been that never were. Lead into tomorrow. Okay? And like I said, soon we're going to get from all this to Arba'a Nechnesu L'Pardes, and we're going to get to Elisha ben Avuya and all the stories about him, and not all of them, but a bunch of them, and good stuff.
What made the Elohim were angels and not people?
I think this is describing angels there in that pasuk, if I remember correctly. It's the whole pasuk. It's a good question. I have to look inside. When you read Daniel, you're saying. No, it's a dream of Yechezkel, and I think it's talking about a Mar'eh he sees in Shamayim. That's why the assumption is it's Malachim if it's in Shamayim. I have to look at the whole parak there. I don't remember. I'm assuming that it was a dream he had of seeing this vision in Shamayim. So,
what are you doing right now?
I have to look at it inside.